listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, Taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back, Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor. Really happy to have Bob Moriarty with me once again. He is a proprietor of 321 Gold. It's a site that I keep my eyes on. I keep it open in my computer virtually all day long. I keep my eyes peeled on that because there's a lot of good stuff on there with regarding economics, markets, geopolitics, and also various companies that I follow that Bob also has as sponsors. Bob has the sponsors I've recommended in my newsletter, and some of which are also sponsors to this show. What I want to talk to Bob about, have him talk to us about, really, is his March 7th article that was posted at 321 Gold, titled, "The Gang of Weasels Just Lost Another Conflict Because They Are Tone Deaf," end of quote. So, Bob, thanks for joining me again.
Well, it's good to talk to you.
It's good to have you in your late in your day in France, I might add. It must be, what time is it there? It's about 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock. Yeah. Getting on to 9 o'clock, I suppose, right? So,
yeah.
So the Gang of Weasels. I mean, who are some of the more prominent members of the Gang of Weasels?
Okay, obviously the leader is Klaus Schwab, which you've got Davos, you've got George Soros, you've got Bill Gates, and the whole World Economic Forum is, I think you could call it the 0.1%, mm-hmm. and they want to control the world and have the 99% literally be slaves to them. And by 2030, you will owe nothing and you will own nothing. But that's the definition of slavery. And there's a battle going on. And I wrote that piece after Trudeau started seizing bank accounts in Canada, mm-hmm. from people who were doing something that was perfectly legal and perfectly reasonable at the time. And strange enough, we've had this... It worked so well for Trudeau that Biden's doing the same thing with sanctions against Russia. Mm-hmm. And blowback is going to be catastrophic.
Well, I hope we can get into that a little bit. The World Economic Forum then is, those are the leaders of the forum, but it's a large class of people. I suppose Trudeau might fit in very well there. I think Michael Bloomberg of Bloomberg certainly fits in there very well with the probably with the Gang of Weasels. Would you agree? Are those people that are part of it?
Yeah, absolutely. Trudeau, it's part Freeland, who's a deputy prime minister of Canada. But even Zelensky and Putin were part of it. The prime minister of New Zealand was part of it. And Klaus Schwab has bragged on video about how the World Economic Forum has literally infiltrated governments all over the world. They're an incredibly powerful group, but their plan is flawed, and it's going to blow the world's economy up.
The statement that you referred to, Klaus Schwab, I mean, this is very bold. They obviously think they have the power, and they have the ability to deceive the masses through propaganda. They figure that they are the elite and they are superior to the rest of the human beings, the rest of us deplorables, as Hillary Clinton called us. The direct quote was, "You will own," this is the direct quote that I have in front of me, "You will own nothing and you will be happy," he's saying to the masses. I mean, this is really repulsive.
Well, it's pretty scary. But he's written a book, and he's as serious as a heart attack. And strange enough, the whole COVID narrative that has now evolved into the Ukraine narrative, it's all part of the same battle. But these people are actually stupid at heart. In all of history, the elites have always believed that they were smarter and better than the plebs, and they should run things. And they always screw it up, and they're screwing this up, this sheer panic on the part of the World Economic Forum.
Well, you're certainly the gist of your article was hopeful. You know, as I sit here in New York and I see what they're doing all the time, I hear all the propaganda that is so one-sided. I mean, I could look at the January 6th situation in which people, what they called it, an insurrection. It was the funniest insurrection I've ever seen. There were no guns. They went in with flagpoles. If it was an insurrection, it was the most impotent, stupidly planned insurrection in the history of humankind. And yet, people are rotting in jail. I just was reading about one person who committed suicide because he couldn't stand the idea of being locked up without a lawyer forever. I mean, is that part of this? Is that part of what we had, the riots of 2020, the January 6th situation? These all seem to be part of the same game, it seems to me.
Well, no, you're absolutely correct. And they believe they can control the narrative. And you used a very good term. It's all propaganda. Now, when BLM and Black Lives Matter and Antifa were rioting and 25 people were killed and $2 billion in damage was done, there was a really famous video on television where a guy is standing in front of a burning building and he's saying the most peaceful, it's a mostly peaceful protest. And I'm thinking, God, that isn't a peaceful protest. But if you compare that to the Canadian truckers, that was absolutely a peaceful protest. But if you listen to Trudeau, you were thinking you would believe you were dealing with the biggest monsters in the world. And the whole January 6th thing, the police were actually letting the protesters into the Capitol. And for them to, nobody went to jail from Antifa and Black Lives Matter, even though those were serious riots. But they've had people in jail for 15 months now. We have destroyed the legal system in the United States. And the whole COVID thing, we went through 2 years of solid propaganda. And I just realized the government spent a couple of $1 billion literally on advertisements for the vaccine. And if you look at what's going on in Ukraine, someone is spending a lot of money trying to create this narrative where the Ukrainians are the good guys and Putin's some kind of monster. And if you want to know what's going on, you need to pay attention to the narrative of the mainstream media and then invert it. And the inverted narrative is the actual truth. Mainstream media is lying about everything.
It seems to be sort of my sense of things, too. Pfizer laid off, I think, over 100 of their salespeople, and they're making tons of money. And I suppose it has something to do with the fact that the ads I look at every day, it seems almost unending, for vaccines have something to do with the fact that the government is financing those ads. And, it's just the way it is. It seems to be the way it is. I don't know where, when I learned about economics, they called that fascist economics, where large corporations are in bed with government, and governments and the large corporations are. That's what, though, Bob, what worries me is that it seems that our government is so much in bed with this propaganda, and it seems to me that this is what we better damn well believe, or you're going to be in trouble.
Well, that's absolutely correct. But the real key to it is that everything they try to do, they end up failing. Now, the head of Pfizer just come out the last week and said you need a fourth shot. Well, if the first shot didn't work and the second shot didn't work and the third shot didn't work, why would you need a fourth shot? they've lost control of that, so they shifted to Ukraine, and it's a totally fictitious, they made the whole thing up. The United States has been pushing Putin for years. Nobody in the United States is trying to end that war. What they're trying to do is prolong the war, and while they're doing that, you have Ukrainians and Russians dying, and it's totally meaningless. It's as meaningless as the war in Afghanistan and the war in Iraq. Why are we doing this? It's total insanity.
No, well, we haven't been in wars to win them. That was obvious from the days you were flying missions in Vietnam, Bob. I don't think that we winning the war is really the objective. The objective, I think President Eisenhower understood it very well when he warned about the military-industrial complex as he was leaving office. Do you agree with that? And then I would like to also ask you, you said that we've been pushing Putin. Perhaps you could explain that, because I don't think that's something that most people have any idea about.
Well, the CIA and the mainstream media and certainly the administration has been demonizing Putin for years. I mean, there's nothing new about this. They're trying to make him into some kind of monster who wants to recreate the Soviet Union. And the actual fact of the matter is that what Putin was demanding of Ukraine was exactly the same thing that John F. Kennedy was demanding of the USSR in 1962, and it was reasonable. He does not want an aggressive neighbor with nuclear weapons on its front porch, and that's perfectly reasonable. This war is absolutely meaningless. It's not going to solve anything. And in fact, the sanctions are going to blow the world's financial system to smithereens. We're going to see $200 gas. We're going to see people starving. We're going to see people freezing. And I'm talking about millions of them. The supply system was broken prior to the war. And this gotten so absurd. Who would have imagined that Switzerland would get involved and start talking about putting sanctions on anybody. If anybody goes back and actually studies what Putin has repeated again and again and again and again, what he wanted was perfectly reasonable.
He wanted a neutral state in Ukraine, and obviously we had something to do with it. I think perhaps your Klaus Schwab and company, I don't know if they were directly involved or not, but 2014, we certainly had some NGOs that were involved in overthrowing that elected government in 2014. The United States has been involved in so many different foreign elections and government changes, regime changes, that most people are totally unaware of. And David Stockman talked about this on my show a few weeks back as well. But Bob, to most people, it would sound totally conspiratorial and nutsy to suggest there was a connection between COVID and that propaganda that it surrounded COVID, and then a war that occurs in the Ukraine. And most people are saying, well, that doesn't make any sense. How could Putin and all the rest of these factors be, how could we decide to have a war now because the game plan isn't working anymore for COVID? I mean, explain that to us so we could. I don't. It's hard for most people, including myself, to believe that could be the case, that there's a coordinated effort to make these things happen.
Well, here's the real key. If you look at the BLM and Antifa, the reality was exactly the opposite of the narrative. There was constant propaganda, ongoing propaganda, day after day after day after day. But if you actually looked at it, you were looking at people doing serious rioting, burning buildings down, killing people, but the media wasn't saying anything about it. And then you went into COVID, and we started COVID with we needed to have a 2-week lockdown. Well, the 2 weeks turned into 2 years, and that whole fiasco, I can't even go into COVID because that's so crazy. But we went from COVID, COVID, COVID to Ukraine, Ukraine, Ukraine. And I'm going, wow. I mean, somebody is controlling this. because they just flipped the switch and they went one thing right on to another. And, you know, what are they going to go into next? I don't know. But is this an accident? Absolutely not. If you read what Klaus Schwab has had to say, if you listen to Trudeau, you realize, wait a minute, these guys have planned this. This is all deliberate. Mm-hmm. And it's all, I mean, it's beyond fascist. It's a criminal conspiracy where all these guys belong in jail. It's they're killing millions of people.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, Bob, there's Edward Bernays was the nephew of Sigmund Freud. He's known as the father of modern propaganda. He was involved. I think he did provide some advice to Hitler's propagandist, and he was involved, apparently, as I understand it, in helping Americans to accept a CIA overthrow of the Guatemalan government on behalf of United Fruit Brands, so United Fruit Brands could get its fruit out of there. He was involved also in a campaign to get American women to start smoking. It made it look sexy for American women. It was a propaganda campaign that worked very well. And his philosophy was, as I understand it, that democracy cannot be efficient. You can't really have a democracy if you allow all these different ideas to prevail. And so we've had qualified scientists on the bioscientists on the COVID matter that we're not allowed, and we're silenced, and we're taken off of Twitter and off of Facebook and YouTube and various places like that. But it seems to me that this was Edward Bernays. That philosophy seems to be in practice now, perhaps from the World Economic Forum. Very much so, it would seem to me. What do you think?
No question whatsoever. If people will look at the little pop-up ads, a lot of different websites have these ads that come up, and we're used to ignoring them. There are literally hundreds of advertisements to do something for Ukraine, and somebody has to pay for that. That's not an accident. I was absolutely shocked to find out the United States government spent billions of dollars on the vaccines and then billions of dollars more promoting the vaccines, but they didn't spend anything on testing the vaccines. And now I said, wait a minute, we should have done a lot more testing.
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing. They're very slow in releasing the results of these tests. I mean, the results of people taking the vaccines, there have been, seems like Pfizer and others have been very slow in releasing that information. There still is some freedom of speech in this country, and you can hear alternative views, but you don't hear them very much from the mainstream anymore, because the mainstream is clearly... it's clearly working in the Bernaysian propaganda thing, it seems to me, anyway. You agree?
That's absolutely correct. But because of the internet, the mainstream media and the propaganda arm of whoever they're operating for has lost control of the narrative. And if people will go to alternative websites like yours and mine, I'm not saying that everything other than mainstream media is a fountain of truth, because it's not. But you get some truth, and you're not getting any truth from the mainstream media. They just flat, I'm serious about this. They're lying about everything.
Bob, with just a couple of minutes left here, want to get your ideas on, then you mentioned sanctions, and David Stockman talked about that as well on our show. He talked about how there's a major railroad that goes through Russia that delivers goods from China to Europe, and he's saying that people are afraid to put their stuff on the train going through Russia. They'll be blackmailed or whatever, and so that is creating a huge supply chain problem. So we're looking, as you're saying, supply chain issues were big before the war as a result of COVID lockdowns and so forth. But how does this play out? And do you see the dollar as being under some real pressure here? We've got 2 minutes left.
Okay, well, actually, what's going to happen, David Stockman's done some brilliant writing lately about the sanctions. We are at the most important pivot point in world history with sanctions. They're not going to hurt Russia. They're going to hurt the rest of the world. It is going to give us hyperinflation. It's going to give us far higher energy prices. The supply chain is going to be destroyed. The entire world is a cesspool of debt that is never going to get paid, and Russia and China are going to get together, and I am absolutely convinced Russia will go to a gold standard and insist on getting paid for oil in gold, and when they do, it's going to change the world's financial system permanently.
That's a fourth turning. We're talking about a fourth turning and a new monetary regime, which I agree, and I think Russia has thought this out before when it knew what we would do. And it has been aligning itself with China. And as my end, David was pointing out, that in fact, I guess it's Alistair MacLeod, that Russia has a 17% flat tax, less than 20% debt to GDP. Ours is 130%. And their regulatory regime is minuscule compared to ours. So all of these things, in spite of Putin not perhaps being the nicest gentleman in the world, the life for Russians, at least by that sort of libertarian criteria, looks pretty good compared to our own, I'm afraid.
You raised a good point. Fourth turning said you're going to take one of two paths. You're either going to take a path to totalitarianism, which is the World Economic Forum at Klaus Schwab, or you're going to take a path towards independence and freedom. And I actually believe that that's what's going to happen. It's going to be catastrophic for many people, but I didn't set it up. Klaus Schwab did.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll have to leave it go at that. Bob, thank you so much for your thoughts, controversial, though I'm sure many will find them. I certainly welcome them and am glad to hear an alternative voice along the lines, certainly, of what I've been thinking as well. Thank you, Bob, so much for being with us. Well, folks, that is it for this week. Next week, Alistair MacLeod will join me to talk about the evolution of credit and the limited future life of the dollar. And Patrick Highsmith of Timberline Gold will join me as well, and Michael Oliver, too. Until then, goodbye and God's blessings to you.
Thank you again for listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with Jay Taylor. Please join us again next Tuesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Firefox Gold is exploring in Finland in the midst of an exciting new gold rush. Firefox successfully drilled high-grade and visible gold in 2021 and is now active at four prospective projects with plans to drill continuously through the first half of 2022. The company's strong international leadership team, combined with its Finland-based exploration specialists, are driving the company to discovery, and the stage is set for Firefox to identify multiple new gold deposits. Firefox Gold trades on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol FFOX and on the OTCQB at FFOXF. Go to firefoxgold.com to subscribe for updates.